Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If He isn't your Savior, He can be. If He isn't your Savior, He wants to be. If He isn't your Savior, He came to be. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, what a wonderful season that it is. What a wonderful time of the year that it is. And may I say, from my house to your house, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. My. What a wonderful thing that it is to celebrate the birth of our Lord and of our Savior. Now, the amazing thing of it is, though it is wonderful, God never tells us to celebrate His birth. Man does that, and I know there's a lot of traditions to it, and I know when the church merged with Rome way back there under Constantine in 300 and some A.D., we know that they merged some pagan holidays with Christianity. But may I say something to you, sir, ma'am? Listen, that doesn't mean now what it did then. We have changed it. I'm telling you, because of our tradition, because of what we do, we have taken something that is pagan and made it something that is precious. Now, if you don't celebrate it, that's fine. But we do. Don't be condemning and convicting of those of us that do for the right reason. For the right reason, those of us that decided to keep Christ in Christmas. Well, that's another message altogether. I've opened my Bible, the book of Galatians, chapter 4, Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, over in the New Testament. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of that. But before I do, Debbie's got a song. The title of it is On a Silent Night, one of her best. I just love all of her songs, but it seems like her Christmas music is a special thing to my heart. You enjoy it, and when she gets done, I'll be back with a message to share with you that God has laid on my heart out of Galatians 4.
The shepherds were abiding in the field that night, keeping watch o'er the flock. The angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, for in this world
come down on a silent night.
taught you like that. Thank God it was. It was. It was. I appreciate that, Debbie. I appreciate you. Well, appreciate the Word of God too, don't you? I appreciate that book that's been inspired of God. I appreciate that book that's been preserved by God. I appreciate that book, friend, listen, that's perfect, that's pure, that's powerful. And I appreciate that book that has the message of salvation by grace through faith presented in it to you and I. And again, the book of Galatians chapter 2 or chapter 4. I want to read two verses of Scripture, and they are verse 4 and 5. Now, they're some of my favorite, actually. Some of my favorite Scripture. And I make no apologies for telling you that I preached from this passage before. But after you've been in the ministry for 40 years, I'll tell you something, friend. You preach over things time and time again. But I don't think I've ever preached this message like I'm going to do today. Now, I'm going to say some things probably very familiar, maybe very similar to what I've said in the past, but I'm going to take it to a place that I don't think that I ever remember bringing it out like this. But I'm going to read in verse 4 of chapter 4 of the Galatians. He said, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." I want to talk to you today for just a little while about the person and purpose of Christmas. The person and the person of Christmas. I'm going to tell you, friend, Christianity, hence Christmas, the time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, it's not just about a day on a calendar. It's not just about a national holiday or a time when merchants will decide in their business whether they enter the red or in the black. It's not a time, friend, of lights and gaiety, although it is all of those things. I don't have a problem personally with any of them, but I'll tell you what Christmas is about, friend. It's about a person by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth who came with a purpose for sinners like you and me. I'm telling you, listen, this message, this passage that we have here as Paul wrote it by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, we have a passage who tells us who came. It was God's Son who came. It tells us when He came. He came when the fullness of time was come. He tells us how He came or why He came, and that's to redeem us from the curse of the law. And if we pick this passage up, that's what we understand and must just simply reflect upon for a brief moment of time to let you know that Paul was trying to correct the problems that the Galatian believers were having here in their church. They who had been saved by grace, they who had heard the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which says Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that according to the Scripture He came, He resurrected, came out from among the dead, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Paul said, listen, though you've heard that, though you believe that, the problem is you're trying to go back to the law. You're trying to go back under the weak and beggarly elements of the world. You're trying to mix law and grace. And Paul said, that'll never work. God forbid that'll never work. Paul said, listen, if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain. And Paul tells us again in another place, he said, look, if we could have been saved by the law, God would have given us a law by which to be saved. He would have spared His Son all that He did in shame and in pain and in humiliation. But listen to what the Word of God said. Paul said this. Now, he said, I want you to know something. He said, but. Now, watch this. He said, on the other hand of all this other stuff, he said, listen, you legalistic people, you Judaizers that want to try to mix law and grace, try to do something that cannot be done, try to produce works of the flesh to perfect what God has started by faith. He said, you can't do it. He said, it won't work. He said, God gave the law not to bring life, but to convince men of the deep sinfulness of sin and to let men know in an undeniable way that thank God they needed a Savior. And listen, this season is about the person, thank God, that God sent. Listen, when the passing of time happened, God sent forth His Son. The Bible said, when the fullness of time was come, way back there in the garden, way back there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you'll find what is referred to as the first mention of the first prophecy of evangelism. When he said it that way, it's called the proto-evangelism. I'm not looking at that, but that's what it is. When God said to Eve in the garden, listen, hey, I'm going to give you a son that'll redeem you. He'll bruise the head of the serpent, or he'll crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent's head would bruise his heel. Way back there, 4,000 years before it came to pass, God promised that He would send a Redeemer, and that Redeemer would be a son. He'd be the seed of a woman. It would be the Son of Almighty God. And when the passing of time, when time passed, bless God, so that God could bring forth His promised seed, His promised Son, He sent Him into the world. Thank God. God's able to keep His promise. You know what God does? God says what He means and means what He says. And when time passed, when all the time passed that needed to be passed, when God was satisfied with the way the world was and the condition of it under Roman rule, and even under Roman roads more than under Roman rule, when the Greek language covered the earth, when that Koine Greek, that Greek that everyone could understand, when the gospel could be written and propagated in a language that mankind could know, He sent His Son, thank God. I mean, Rome's roads connected city to city. I mean, all the way back to that great Roman city in Rome itself. I mean, the language of the Greeks and even Latin have played a part in it, no doubt. Oh, it was there in its pristine stage. I mean, to tell you, when it was in a perfect language, if I could say it that way, so that all the human race could hear of the incarnation of the only begotten Son of God, so that they could hear that He died sacrificially, substitutionally for mankind who was lost, so that God could redeem their sinful souls in light of the fact that God's only begotten Son came out from among the dead. I'm telling you, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. I like that. Notice that phrase, sent forth. God sent forth His Son. You know, that's the person that came. He was very God of very God. He was very man of very man. And for God to have sent Him, He had to have been with God. Could somebody say amen right there? When God sent Him, the Bible tells us in no uncertain terms that He sent Him as the apostle and high priest of our faith, according to the book of Hebrews. That's what the word sent means. Apostle, apostella, I believe it is. A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O or A, something like that. It's the word, the Greek word from which we get our word apostle. And you know what an apostle is? An apostle is someone sent from God, by God, with a message on a mission. So Christ, listen folks, Christ came on a mission. Christ came on a divine mission. All for humankind. He was sent from God. He came on a mission. He was commissioned by God to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke chapter 19 and 10. According to what He said, where's it added? Mark chapter 10, He said He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life for ransom. He said in another place, He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we have the person who came was God incarnate. In the book of John chapter 1 verse 1, the Word of God says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 of that chain passage, the Word of God tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Thank God, thank God. God sent forth His Son, only begotten. His only begotten Son, born of a virgin, we're going to find out. God sent Him, listen, from heaven, out of eternity past, to enter into the stream of humanity so that mankind might be saved. Isn't that amazing? All that epic making period of time when Gabriel came to Mary and said, now listen, you're going to bear a son. It's going to be a holy thing. The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. You're going to conceive in your womb and you're going to bear the Savior of the world. I'm telling you what an epic time that was. 9 months later, Jesus came into this world, who was Emmanuel. That's what Gabriel told Joseph, that his name would be. His name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now listen, if God sent His Son, and if He came to be incarnate, or God's Word fleshed out, if He came as Emmanuel, He was Emmanuel. And if He had been with God, that means He was God. Now notice again, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. They were one. And the Word was God. Thank God. Listen, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word was with God means that they were separate. The words where He said was God means that they were one. Now you say, preacher, that's mysterious, isn't it? That's a mystery. You explain that. Well, I can't, but thank God I can proclaim it, and proclaim it I do. He was sent from God. He was God. And that's why the Bible said He was sent. But He became man, thank God. And in that man, in that person, Jesus Christ, we had God and we had man. We didn't have two persons, but we had one person with two personalities. He was divine. He was human. He was the God-man. And I'm glad to know, listen, when things were right, God kept His Word. Isn't that good? God kept His Word. So, the passing of time, God sent the right person who came. But look now, it goes on to say why He came. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Listen, He didn't come to destroy the law, Matthew 5:17, but to fulfill the law. And He did. He fulfilled it completely. He fulfilled it perfectly. He fulfilled it, I believe, passionately. And when He died at Calvary, He said this in John 19:31, it is finished. But I got to go on. He said, now listen, He didn't stop there when He said, made of a woman made under the law. He said, now here's why. To redeem those who are under the law. Here's the purpose for His coming. To redeem sinners like me and you. He came to set us free. He came into the market place where slaves were sold, and bless God, He paid the price of our redemption, which is His shed blood. To set us free. Now it's an amazing thing. He didn't buy us to enslave us. And slave trade was deep in the Roman Empire. At that time they tell me there was 120 people in the Roman Empire. Historians and scholars do. And they say that 60 million of them were slaves. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? A slave could buy a slave. A man could buy a slave. And a man who bought a slave had the option to do two things. They could make them their slave, or they could set them free. I thank God. Aren't you glad to know that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us. Bless God. To redeem us. Thank God that we're under the law, under the curse of the law. Excuse me, under the curse of the law. Bless God. He redeemed us. He set us free. He liberated us with the blood that He shed at Calvary. He did that through His death, burial, and resurrection. He did that in light of the fact that He became as man, so He could die for man, so that He could raise, so man could be justified. And when Jesus, friend, after He was crucified at Calvary, after he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And when he rose out from among the dead, though he was born of under the law, made of a woman and born under the law, I thank God when he came out from among the dead, he was raised to a new realm of living. So, therefore, thank God by his life that he now lives and what he can do for you and I. Do you know what he does? He lifts us out of the legal system. Bless God, he takes us into the realm that he raised in a realm where believers who have put their faith and trust in Christ can be free and be free indeed. Oh, listen, sir. Are you bound up? Are you a slave to some system? Are you a slave to the law of man or to that old law? That's a lot of people unfortunately say, I'm going to heaven because I keep the law. No, you don't. No, you don't. No man can. The law is perfect. The law is holy. The law is just. The law is good, but it's impossible. It's impossible for fallen mankind to keep. There was a man by the name of Jesus that kept it. Every I, every tittle, bless God, every demand, every command, everything that God expected a man to do under the law, Jesus Christ fulfilled. But you can't keep it. I can't keep it, but thank God, listen. We can get the life of one who did because the purpose for Jesus is coming. Thank God was for him. Bless God to meet the demands of the law and to satisfy the expectations of a holy God in relationship to law, to his law, and to provide redemption for sinners like me and you. So listen to what the last point is, and my, how time runs quickly. He said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Thank God. I like that word adoption, don't you? Now let me tell you something, friend, and listen closely. God only adopts those who are his sons. Do you hear me? You don't get into the family of God by adoption. You get into the family of God by regeneration. You get in the family of God by the new birth. You get in the family of God by putting your trust and faith in Christ Jesus. But after, listen, you've been adopted, you're placed in a position. You find yourself with a standing before God that is eternal, that is unchanging. And that standing there, friend, listen, makes us, gives us a right, every right and privilege as a full-grown son, as an adult son. Isn't that good? And when we think about adoption, we're not talking about a condition. Many people everybody that's first saved are babes in Christ. But all because we are babes in Christ, God puts us in a position as of an adult son, as of a full-grown child. Listen, adoption has nothing to do with our condition or even our relation. Thank God, listen. Remember I said God only adopts those that are birthed into His family, but I'll tell you what it does do. Thank God, listen, it gives us a position in God as if we were a full-grown son. We have all the rights and the privileges that come along with our position. Do you hear? Oh, I want you to know we become an heir and a joint heir. We become an heir of Jesus Christ or of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I'm glad for that. I'll tell you this thing about Christmas. It's about a person by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the virgin-born Son, God's only begotten, and it's about a purpose. His purpose that He came into this world on a commission by God to fulfill, and that is to redeem sinners like me and you. Run to Him, sir. Run to Him, ma'am, right now. I'm telling you're lost. Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him you want to be saved. And the Bible said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May I say to you again, Merry Christmas. Accept the greatest gift man has ever been offered, and that's eternal life.
You are my Savior.
Until the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.